Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 347 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
It is going well. I'm really excited. We are staying in the realm of home for today's episode, and it just feels like that's an appropriate thing for this time of year. Last week, we talked about cleaning products that we can't live without, and today kind of piggybacks off of that, but it's not exactly like a part one, part two. We're taking a different approach this week, but I think it's related because this time of year feels like apropos of home resets and little home hacks and solutions. Yeah. If you didn't listen last week, it's no big deal. But today we're really talking about solutions to kind of smaller home annoyances, aggravations that we wish we would have done sooner. So we're trying to flatten the learning curve for you all and give you the permission slip to just fix the like hinge on the cupboard door or whatever the thing is for you.
Well, we've talked about before on the show, Sarah, it's like the death by a thousand cuts or the little irritations that add up. And I have to admit that I am terrible about not addressing these things. Like, yeah. I will live with something irritating for a very, 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 very long time. And often it never really becomes an issue. But every now and then you have that aha moment like, oh, my goodness, why didn't I just do this earlier? And this idea for this episode actually came about from our team member, Katie. And here's how she put it. She's actually got some fabulous solutions in her question that we tried not to copy. But some of them I'm like, oh, right, I should do that. Okay, so she says, I'd love to hear you talk about anything you do or have done around the house that's beyond regular cleaning, but makes a big impact. Some examples from my own life, adjusting the shelves in my kitchen cabinets to actually fit the size of my stuff. What, you can do that?
What?
Okay, I didn't even know that. Cleaning the tops of my kitchen cabinets, ew, ew, ew. I'm not sure I've ever wanted to do that, but I should probably look into that. I love this one. Finally, just throwing out my stinky dish rags and buying new ones for $6 instead of trying all sorts of methods to deodorize them. Yep. Yeah, I've been there. Switching to velvet hangers in my closet. That is something I personally did about a year ago, only because those are the ones they had at TJ Maxx. It wasn't like I didn't have any kind of, I don't know, like strategy around it. But when I put my clothes on them and they didn't fall off, I was like, oh, right.
A life changer.
It is. And then she says, putting a boot tray right outside the back door. So we're not trying to stuff huge wet boots in our shoe baskets. Again, that's something I have lived for years and have not always been great about having solutions for. And what I love about these is none of these are like mind blowing and or expensive or difficult. Like you could do all of those things today.
Right.
But they make a big impact.
They do. And, you know, we know Katie. She's on our team. She's a very efficient, productive home manager. So if Katie's got things that she's been putting off or like with the dish rag example, like going to great lengths to solve a problem that could just have $6 thrown at it and go away. Right. Like we know that we all do this. And I think it's just really it's kind of fun peek behind the curtain to hear what other home managers have struggled with and then solved. And I think hopefully, again, it's back to that permission slip idea of like, you can go solve these things in your home for yourselves, listeners, or maybe they're not the things that we've solved, but there's something else. I love it. Before we go to break, we have a really fun giveaway going on Instagram that I want to make sure nobody misses. It's happening this week. So you have heard us talk about our sponsor, Scooter Badge, the last couple of months on the podcast. It's this really cute, sturdy little badge that you stick on the front of any kid's scooter, and it personalizes it because they've got like favorite Nickelodeon characters and all kinds of little designs. So if you've got a bunch of scooters that look alike, this is like the badge that sets your kids apart.
I think this is so genius, and this would have been so great for me when my kids were just constantly on scooters and they all looked exactly the same. So we've actually teamed up with Scooter Badge for a giveaway on Instagram this week, and it is a really good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one. So they are giving away 2 scooters, not just the scooter badges that they make, but 2 Micro Kickboard Minis, which are great scooters. You and I have both loved that brand. It's a double giveaway for 1 lucky commenter and the friend whom they tag in the Instagram post. And then, of course, if you win, you will also get a 10 pack of the scooter badges themselves, which is so fun.
I love this. Well, the giveaway kicked off yesterday and the entries close this coming Friday night, the 14th of January. So all the details are in the Instagram post, which we will link to in the show notes for this episode. So definitely go check that out.
Yes, definitely go check it out. And thanks to Scooter Badge. So we are going to take a break and then come back and dive into some of these quick home solutions and fixes that have changed our lives meaningfully. So we'll be right back.
Sarah, I have basically spent the last month or so living in the magical pants created by our sponsor, Beta Brand. I now have the dress pant yoga pant in skinny, straight leg, and boot cut. And I just added a pair of their denim skinnies to my collection. So essentially, there is no reason for me to ever wear anything else again.
You are so right. So I just got my second pair of dress pant yoga pants from Beta Brand, and I got the classic straight leg black style. And I have worn them, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in the last 2 weeks. I wore them to a couple of dressier events, but they are so comfortable. They feel seriously like yoga pants, which, let's be honest, we've all gotten pretty used to wearing the last couple of years. The dress pant yoga pants from Beta Brand are made of wrinkle-resistant stretch knit fabric, so they look good all day or all night, and they are so comfortable.
Yeah, I love that there are so many silhouettes to choose from in the dress pant yoga pants. They've got wide leg and straight leg and boot cut and skinny cut, and they've even got denim, tops, and dresses too. And while I don't actually go to yoga class in these pants, I admit I have given them a few test runs on my mat at home, and honestly, I probably could. They are that stretchy and comfy.
Right now, our listeners can get 30% off their Beta Brand orders at betabrand.com/themomhour. That's BETABRAND.com/themomhour for 30% off your order for a limited time. And when you use our special URL, you're supporting our show too. Discover what it's like to be comfortable and confident all the time. Go to betabrand.com/themomhour for 30% off. We are welcoming a new sponsor today, Megan. It's a company called NewSphere, and their mission is to provide quality online education to preschoolers and young kids, no matter where they're located.
Yeah, and Sarah, right now, we know parents in our community are looking for safe, affordable online options for enrichment, so we're really excited about this. Here's how it works. All NewSphere classes are virtual and led by experienced early childhood educators. 5 days a week, your child will meet for about an hour with a small group of up to 8 kids led by the same teacher at the same time.
Right. So those small groups and that consistency really allow kids to build bonds with their classmates and teacher, even though it's an online forum. Kids are also really encouraged to interact in class. So this is not like a giant Zoom call where all the kids are muted. The instructors help learners express their ideas, thoughts, and feelings, as well as learn to socialize with their fellow classmates.
NewSphere classes are great as a standalone preschool program, or they also work really well paired with other early childhood education you might be doing. They've got programs starting from age 2 all the way up to kinder prep for ages 4 to 6, and they have times available to fit all schedules.
Visit newsphere.com/themomhour to find out more and to get a 1-week free trial. And use code themomhour to get 20% off your first month when you enroll. Again, that's NewSphere, NewSphere.com/themomhour, and use code themomhour to get 20% off your first month.
Okay, Sarah. So what I love about this is that these are all over the place. All different rooms of the house. Some of them require purchases, some don't. Some are things that we've done for a long time, and some are things that we're just starting to do, or even things that we're just like thinking about doing. So why don't you go first?
Sure. So this is a change I made right before the pandemic. And that's a coincidence, but I remember because all of a sudden I was spending a lot of time working on and in my bed because everyone was in the house. And I took a tip from our internet friend, Jill Krause, who I remembered saying online one time that white sheets and white bedding have been counterintuitively great, even with small kids around, because white can be bleached or spot cleaned. And having a white kind of template to work with in your bedroom gives a lot of flexibility for design changes or like a fun throw pillow or buying, if you need a bunch of extra sheets or pillowcases, just buying a bunch of white. It's the bedroom linen equivalent of like having all white plates, right?
Yeah.
It just gives flexibility. There's something clean about the design. And I would have thought there's no way. Like, it would just get so gross, so dingy, gross things, stain sheets. I had never considered all white bedding, but I had a gift card to Nordstrom that February before the pandemic. And I decided to get a comforter cover in white, and it has some texture to it. So it's all white, but it has some texture to it, like a quiltedness to it. And I got some white throw pillow covers. And then we had a sponsor, Cozy Earth, a year or two ago, and I bought all white sheets. And I'm now like 2 years into regularly laundering and often bleaching, not every time, but when I need to, doing some bleach or whitening treatment. And they are so white. They look great in my bedroom. And I've enjoyed the shift. And I would never have thought that would be a helpful thing to, I don't know, brighten up my bedroom, but it has been.
I love that. And is it for, like, what is the ease? Is it because now everything matches and you just like the way it looks? Or is it like a laundering ease? Or is it just because you like, I don't know, I'm just trying to get at what the
little bit of
solution is.
Yes. So I think it's a little bit of everything. I think in the past, when I've had a variety of different quilts, duvet covers, and throw pillows, they've had sun damage. We've always had big windows in our bedroom. So they've faded or gotten stained and looked kind of dingy after a relatively short period of time. So I think the solution is longevity. I think I will have this bedding set for a very long time. And if I want to dress it up in a different design, I might add a throw pillow. And then the laundering feels easier because the sole goal is to keep those whites white. And I probably wasn't in a season of life where I had the headspace for that, but now I am. And it's so satisfying to have really clean, like hotel clean white sheets and bedding. Like, so it's a simplicity thing, I think, that's felt like the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I have not really through any strategy, I don't think, but it just so happens that I have all like pastel sheets and a gray comforter. So everything does kind of go together, but there's sometimes when I end up with like one pink pillowcase and one yellow one, and it kind of drives me nuts. So yes. I could totally see having some kind of, even if it's not white, but just having one color really working.
Yeah.
Well, my first one is also in the laundry / I don't know, linens arena. And that is, I feel like a lot. If there's one home management thing I've talked about on the show the most, I think it's probably laundry. And that's partly because I have 5 kids. I have a lot of laundry.
Yeah.
But because it's changed so much, like laundry is probably the thing that's changed the most drastically as my kids have gotten older and as I've been dealing with like the new realities of living in a divorced home. Because it used to be like I was the laundress on purpose. I did not want to give up that designation for a lot of reasons because I wanted that to be my thing. I did not want other people throwing a load of laundry in when I was in the middle of something or like getting into my system. But now my kids are getting older. They have more, like sometimes they don't really want their laundry in with everyone else's. I'm not going to get into the reasons. I don't know. I don't want to know. But I actually think it's more because they just don't want their stuff to get mixed up with everybody else's. And like they want their specific jeans or whatever. And okay, that's fine. But what I have found is that, you know, even having lots of laundry baskets, even if I have an average of 1+ laundry basket, so like a laundry basket for each person in the house plus an extra 1 or 2 for linens. Mm-hmm. It somehow isn't enough because we all have different ways that we use them. Yeah. We all have different systems. And some of the kids want to work out of a laundry basket all week long, and that's fine. Some of them want to put stuff away. But what ends up happening is a lot of hoarding. Mm-hmm. And so, and also those big laundry baskets, the kind that you kind of need when you're carrying lots of laundry up and downstairs, break really easily because you're carrying them on your hip and they get weak and crack in the hip area. So I finally, and this was one of those, like, you know, very quick decisions. I bought 2 small square laundry baskets, which I feel like are just a little sturdier for each kid. And now they're labeled. So each kid has 2. So that's what they get. They don't get to have all of my big good ones that I still want to use for like sheets and towels. Mm-hmm. That's still my world that I'm living in. And they can choose how they want to use those. So if they want one for dirty clothes and one for clean, that's up to them. If they want to separate whites and colors, if like whatever they want to do, they're very welcome to do it, but they just get those 2. And I know whose they are. And I've only been doing this for 2 or 3 weeks now, like since just before the holiday, but it's made a big difference because I know like no one's going to come take my laundry baskets away. And if I see a laundry basket that has someone else's name on it, it probably doesn't have my clothes in it.
Right.
Which has been another thing, like not knowing at a glance, like whose clothes are those and are they all mixed up or what? So that's something I could have probably done 2 or 3 years ago and it would have been great, but now I'm there.
It's also a vote for sometimes just more of an everyday item is the solution. Like if you're constantly short laundry baskets, or if you're constantly short chapsticks, or if you're constantly like, sometimes it's just buying a bunch of something inexpensive and not living in scarcity if you don't have to.
Right. Exactly.
So my next one, I feel like I finally got to be a grown up about this when we moved into this house about a year and a half ago. And that is, I bought a roll of that cabinet liner, drawer liner, the kind of spongy one with like where moisture could go through it and not. Do you not even know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, like okay. The rubbery ones,
the rubbery ones. Yes.
Yeah. They're like grippy.
Grippy, thank you. I don't know why that was so hard to explain. And it comes in a
big, like a yoga mat, but for your cabinet.
Exactly. And it has little holes. It's not solid. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So it's both non-stick, non-slip. And it also, if there's a light spill or something, it feels like it does some protecting of whatever's underneath. So I bought a big roll of it. And I put it in almost every cabinet and every drawer. And it makes me feel like such a grown-up. Like I'll open up a big wide drawer that has a knife block. And then it also is like some miscellaneous utensils. And if you're feeling extra tidy, you can kind of line the spoons and utensils up and they don't slip around and stick. It's just like the most, and you can cut it to fit. So you can cut it for the bottom of a cabinet. I don't know why this simple home solution took me so long to do, but I don't have a pantry in this house, but if I had a pantry, I would do it on the pantry shelves. I think I would do it everywhere. I'm going to drawer line and cabinet line everything from now on.
So this is one of those things that like those niceties or those like little domestic, I don't even know the word I'm looking for here, but yeah, just like a little nicety of life, a civilized little thing that I feel like is getting lost in today's generation. Yeah. I mean, it sounds so old, but I'm saying like kind of like the way they say, you know, millennials and younger don't like top sheets. And then everyone who's right. like Gen X and older is horrified and like, what do you mean? I'm just thinking back to my mom would never, ever, ever, ever have dreamed of moving into a house and not putting down cabinet liners, drawer liners. Like it wouldn't, like she would have looked at you like you're crazy. Like that was the first thing you did when you moved. You went and you bought the contact paper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you lined those cabinets. Like it would have been uncivilized not to.
Right.
And it is one of those things that for whatever reason, I think is just not as much of a thing, but it is so satisfying. It is so grown up and it's very practical for all the reasons you said. Things don't slide around. If they're a little wet when they go in, you know, they have something to kind of leak on that then air, like the air flows through. There's like a lot of good reasons for that. And it's just one of those little things that's kind of going away that I would like us to bring back.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where if I like younger me would have gone into someone else's house and been like, oh, these drawers are so nice with this stuff laid down. And then it's like, wait, dummy, you could do this for $4 in your own house. Like you are a grown up. Yep. So, yeah.
Well, okay. So my next one is one that I didn't do, and then I did, and then I didn't do, but I'm going to do again.
We're still learning, friends. We're always learning.
Okay. So for, again, like an embarrassingly long time, I'm going to say 15 years of grown up married life. Every time I wanted to reach a high shelf or put in a new light bulb, whatever, I would go climb up on a chair. Mm. And I was really stupid about the way I would do that. Sometimes I would climb up on like a bar stool, or I'd climb on a chair with wheels on the bottom, or, you know, like a chair that rotates just because it was close by. And I was like, oh. Or I'd climb up on the countertop, like I'm Violet or something.
Yes.
And I would just do whatever I had to do. And then one day, and I don't remember who it was who said this, maybe it was you, I don't know. It was like, no, because it was longer ago than that, but it was, you know, not that long ago. So maybe in like the last, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, someone said, why don't you get a step stool? And I was like, oh, that's what they're for. Right. Like, right. Gotcha. Okay. So I got a step stool and it was kind of a game changer. Yeah. And I had a little one that I'd had for the kids all along.
Yeah.
And that was like great. Like having a little tiny one that kids could climb up and down on. I already had one of those, but those don't get you high enough to do things like what I'm describing. Right. So I got a legit step stool with two steps that folds up and blah, blah, blah. And then somehow it got lost in my last move. Okay. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it got left behind. It's probably the kind of thing someone was using to clean out like the garage attic or something and then just didn't just didn't make it.
Yeah.
And so I've lived without now for almost 2 years. And it's the kind of thing that I don't even notice I don't have until I really, really want it.
Yeah.
And then the moment passes and I don't order another one. But it's like, I should just get one. Like the minute we get off, I should just get online and order
one. It's time. I have a couple good ones. In our old house, we had one upstairs and one downstairs. The same kind you're talking about with the two steps that folds. My challenge now is that I don't have great place to keep either one. So they're always out, which is convenient, but not as easy to store away. So, but yes, very worth having. Very worth having. All right. Well, my next one is not as easily achieved without some luck. I'll put it that way. But it has been a huge game changer. And that is having a professional to call on for small home repair jobs. And I don't mean experts, subject matter experts like plumbers and electricians, and everybody needs those on hand too. But I'm going to use the word handyman, handy person. I don't know of another
Jack
term.
Or Jill of all trades.
Exactly.
Yes, like, they're not like a general contractor. They're not electrician. They're not a specialist. They can just do all of the things.
Yes. And if you can build a relationship and have someone who's reliable and that you can say, hey, is this even possible? Could you do this? Or would you recommend calling a contractor? It's almost like just it's the first call. It's the first call we make for small home projects. And we have the best guy for this house here. And it's someone that my parents had used. And what's so freeing about it from a home solutions of things that make a big difference is it's opened up Brian and I to be like, you know what? I'll give one specific example. We had our garbage can in the kitchen was one of those that's in a cabinet, right? It was in a cupboard and you opened the cabinet door on a hinge, like regular open to the side. And then you had to pull out the garbage and recycling that was on wheels, on a track of wheels. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to, wouldn't it be nice if instead of opening a cupboard and then with your same dirty trash hand reaching in and pulling the thing out, it's like two
dirty
hand
trash
motions.
Hand.
It's two motions, right? You have to open the cupboard, then you have to pull out the slidey thing. We were like, wouldn't it be better if someone could turn this into where you grab the handle and it is the drawer. So it goes from being like a cabinet to basically pulling out like a drawer handle. And we were like, oh, I wonder if Jose could do that. And he did. And it was game changing and magical. That's the kind of thing that's not worth calling. You're not going to remodel your kitchen or get new cabinets. He needed to sand down. He needed to remove the handle. He needed to develop and install like a different drawer pull thing instead of the hinges. It was a skilled job, but it made a huge difference in our kitchen. And it's allowed Brian and I to think about those things that would make a big difference that are really worth paying for when it's within our budget. And we've just continued to be like, thank goodness we've got somebody to call. So it feels a little selfish because I don't know how listeners can necessarily just go out and find themselves someone amazing. But if you've never thought about that role, or if you can get referrals, I just think it's so life-changing for us.
Well, and a lot of people who do that work stay very busy and don't advertise.
Right.
So I have found that those people often are like word of mouth. So, you know, ask around at your church or at the grocery store, look on the little board outside or ask for referrals online if you have like one of those, I don't know, groups for your community or whatever. Because people, when they have someone they like, they're like, yes. And, you know, often we'll share their names, but you might not find them in the phone book.
No, you have to look around.
Nobody uses a phone book anyway, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
The other thing we do is we batch. So we just keep a list running of things that would be helpful unless it's an urgent need, but it usually isn't. And we'll batch a whole bunch until we kind of look at the budget and look at the timing and be like, yeah, let's get Jose out and see like how much of this
he can
knock out. So it's been so great.
Well, my next one isn't exactly a solution that I came up with or am even doing. It's more of an observation that is helping me think differently about some of these things in advance. So ever since I've been dating Eric, I have noticed, and he built the house that he lives in and pretty much like single-handedly built it. Like he did a lot of the work himself and definitely designed a lot of it. And I've just always been kind of blown away by how thoughtful. He's always been about things like lighting, switches, automation of lights, things like where a switch is placed relative to the room, or like how those things are used, all the fixtures, like how they get used in the house. And every place you would think of that, like walking through, your arms might be full, that light is on a sensor and everything is placed where it needs to be. So we bought this house that I'm going to live in together and he's working on it. And for a little while I was getting a little bit impatient because I'm like, why did you spend like all these hours rewiring the electrical in this room so that the switch is in a different place, or like patching the drywall in the bathroom so that you could move the, you know, I don't know, something up so that the there's like a pendant light in a different, or sorry, a wall sconce above your face in the bathroom and not like at the same level. But now I get it. Like, it's one of those like really thinking through all the, it reminds me of you a little bit, Sarah, like thinking through all the potential ways, like you could be happy later that you did that or mad that you didn't do that. Instead of like me just going, eh, whatever.
Right.
I'll just make do.
I'm flexible. And then
I'm flexible. I'll just go with it. And then being irritated later. Now, a lot of it's because I've lived in rentals in my life. And with a rental, you just deal, right? Like, I'm not going to go moving lights around and things like that.
Well, even in homes I've owned, I have just dealt with lighting fixtures.
Right.
Because, again, I didn't have a person. I didn't have an Eric. I didn't have a Jose. Like, I just thought, this is where this light fixture is. So
yesterday he went to the store. They were having this sale. We have like a kind of like a Home Depot here, but it's called Menards. I think it's I think it's regional. I don't know that we have. You have them out there?
Not here, but I remember Midwest.
So there was a deal where you could go fill up a bag and everything that fits in the bag, you get 15% off or something. I mean, like, this is just the most Eric thing ever. And so he made the trip to Menards so that he could fill a bag with like sensor lights and like expensive things, like all the stuff that costs a lot of money. And so now, you know, last night he's like telling me about how now when I walk in the garage, the light's going to come on automatically because he makes fun of me because I don't bother turning the light on in the garage. I just walk through a dark garage. And he's like, what, do you remember that there's a light switch? Like, when you watch, just touch it, it turns on. And I'm like, I know, but, you know, I'm just in a hurry to get to the door, or my hands are full or whatever. So he's like, I'm putting it on a motion sensor. Then you don't even have to think about it. So it's very sweet. Like, he's like thinking that through for me. But I'm also just like, well, maybe I could just be a little more thoughtful, even when I'm moving in, even when it doesn't come to things like that I can actually design, but things about like, well, where would be the right place to put a lamp?
Yeah.
So that not because there's already been a table there and a lamp used to be there and now I'm just copying what the last people did or whatever, or because it's easiest, but maybe like, where would it make sense for there to be a lamp and for me to be able to turn that lamp on? Or I don't know, like all of these things, like there's like a thoughtful way to do it. And that's my whole point. It's like a little thoughtful design around your space, whether you're living in a rental or a home you own, or like there are things within our control.
Absolutely.
That we can all make better.
I wonder if you and I both being spatially challenged has something to do with it, because I often forget that there are changes that could make a difference, especially when it involves space. And my mom is really good. She has remodeled or built a couple of houses. So she also is really good about just seeing those opportunities, just like Eric. So, and I'm thinking about our listeners. Every once in a while, someone posts in the Facebook group about doing a home remodel and they ask for other people's, like, what do you wish you would have thought about when starting a kitchen remodel? And I'm always so fascinated by the responses because they're very specific things like this. Like, I wish the garbage disposal switch was on the same side as the soap dispenser. Like, it's something that's so ergonomic and so thoughtful that I'm sure we have listeners who are contemplating, you know, making some changes that you can, you know, use these little tips. So I love it.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break and then just keep on going through our lists when we come back.
Sounds good.
We have a new sponsor to welcome to the show today, Megan. It's a company called Kids Soul, and they are helping kids everywhere feel more comfortable in their shoes.
Yeah. So typically, if you have a child who needs some kind of orthotic inserts for their shoes, which is actually pretty common, you're at the mercy of whatever your doctor or local clinic charges for those inserts. KidSole set out to change all that, and they provide premium quality medical grade orthotic shoe inserts, as well as athletic and daily use insoles, all designed exclusively for toddlers, kids, and teens.
Right. And the awesome team at KidSole works directly with parents to make sure they find what they need, guaranteeing great customer service and easy returns and exchanges. Their products can help alleviate pain associated with low arches, high arches, or flat feet, and they also have the largest variety of solutions for alleviating heel pain. We got to check out their gel heel cups, and Violet loved the extra cushion in her shoes. I'm also eyeing their ice pack recovery boot because I swear someone in my house twists their ankle almost weekly.
Kidsole's prices are super affordable, and they provide a truly no-hassle shopping experience. And check this out. Right now, Kidsole is offering our listeners a 40% discount on those already great prices. Go to kidsole.com/themomhour and use momhour22 at checkout to get that deal. And if you have any questions about any of their products, message Kidsole's friendly customer support and they'll help you out. Again, it's KIDSOLE.com/themomhour and use code momhour22 to get 40% off.
Megan, today we're welcoming back our sponsor, Matter of Fact. So our whole team got to test out their skincare products, and it was so interesting to compare notes about what we noticed with the products and our skin. So Katie on our team is a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to vitamin C serum. She has tried a ton. And what she loved best about Matter of Fact's Brightening C Serum is the consistency. It's not runny like some other vitamin Cs, and more than 2 months after using it, it's still crystal clear. If you've ever been disappointed by expensive vitamin Cs turning brown or yellow, you'll love Matter of Fact's special formulation that delivers a stable 20% concentration of ascorbic acid.
This time of year when the temperatures are dropping, I notice that I really need to up my moisturizer situation. Otherwise, I'm battling some seriously dry and angry skin. Matter of Fact's minimalist hydrating cream has been my go-to. It has a luscious texture that feels so soothing when you smooth it on your face, and I appreciate that it's not pumped full of a lot of extra treatments and complicated ingredients that I have to worry about interacting with my existing skincare regimen.
If you're looking to step up your skincare game in the new year, pairing Matter of Fact's Brightening C Serum with the Minimalist Hydrating Cream makes it so easy. We have an incredible deal for listeners who want to try out Matter of Fact. We're going to get you 15% off. Just go to matteroffact.com to learn more and use code MOM15 at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. Again, that's MATTEROFFACT.com and code MOM15 for 15% off your first purchase. All right. Well, my next one is very simple and very doable for a few dollars. And that is that it has made a huge difference for us to put many hooks inside our kids' closets. The kids all have the kind of sliding door closet, so the kind of wide ones, not walk-ins. So if you're facing your closet, you have some wall space on the interior of the closet to either side. And we just get the metal hooks that are a dollar or something at the home improvement store. And we get not the command stick-on strips, because I am so paranoid about things pulling. Not that anything bad would happen, but I need a good secure hook. Like, I need to feel like it's really in the wall, especially if we're going to hang backpacks and heavy stuff on them. And sometimes you can get the two-prong ones or just the one-prong one. But kids don't hang stuff up ever. I mean, I don't think ever even... I have not known a kid to hang stuff up on hangers properly, but having a lot of hooks in the closets really has helped them be able to hang up a backpack or a purse or a hoodie. Or there's a lot of things that you can tidy up and put away if you have an abundance of hooks. And I would say I would extend that to other areas of the house, but the area where it's made the biggest difference is in the kids' closets. And it's, you don't need a professional or a handyman for this. You just need literally like a screwdriver and a very inexpensive hook. And it's made a big difference for our kids' tidiness. Not that they're super tidy, but it's an easier.
No, but hey, yeah. Kids like to hang things.
Yeah.
It's right in front of their faces. Mm-hmm. And little kids, I think hanging on a hook is the best possible scenario because they can do it autonomous. What's this?
Autonomous.
What is the word? Thank you. Goodness. Yes. They can do it by themselves.
Yes.
They can do it by themselves. So I have in my current bedroom, let's have this really long, weird wall situation. There's this, I don't know, like 8 hooks in a row right when you walk in.
I remember you talking about this. Yeah.
And I thought it was so weird when I moved in. I'm like, who needs this many hooks? This is just silly. But every one of those hooks is now full, and some are double full. And I will tell you, it reminds me about jackets I would otherwise forget I owned. Uh-huh. It allows me to have a place where my scarves are out and I can see them.
Yep.
So yeah, hooks are not just for kids.
Hooks everywhere.
Yep. Hooks are for adults too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, well, my next one is also about hanging things.
Okay.
And that is when I did that closet refresh about, I don't know, a little over a year ago, I hung up all of my clothes except jeans and workout clothes and like some of my hiking wear, stuff like that, and pajamas.
But basically anything, I used to get real precious about whether something was hangworthy.
Right.
Like, yes. Oh, is this shirt nice enough to hang? This right. is just a sweater. I'm putting it in a drawer. Well, you know, you just end up with messy drawers. So I hung everything and it has been a huge game changer. Like it's everything is more neat. I can find things when I want them. Things don't wrinkle. It's been great. So, and you even hang jeans, don't you?
I do hang jeans. Yes, I do hang jeans, but I do not hang some of the things you do. So I think we just distribute a little differently because I don't hang as many shirts as you do. Oh, okay. I have quite a bit folded. But my question for you is like, you know, that stage of the laundry putting away where it's just your stuff and you just are going to lay it over the chair, the end of the bed. Do you find that you're any better about putting away your own things with hanging or drawers, or is it kind of, it's kind of a wash?
Did you just hear that long sigh?
Yeah, I did. Like, I did.
Well, here's the thing, Sarah. In theory, I would be better at hanging because it feels like less work because my closet never gets full. My drawers used to get kind of full mm-hmm. and sometimes I'd have to kind of rearrange them or like, you know, dig things out and move them around. And I don't have to do that if I'm hanging almost everything. But right now I do have like three baskets full of clean clothes waiting to be hung back up. And then sometimes I'll do this thing where I pull something out and decide I'm not going to wear it. And I throw it on top of the basket on the hanger. Mm-hmm. So then you have an even worse mess because now there's like a hanger involved that's getting caught on other things. So it's still not perfect, but that's error. That's user error. That's yeah. not like, it's not a system breakdown. That's my
follow
problem.
Through. It's follow through.
It's follow through. Yeah. Yes. And what it will take is me spending about 3 hours in my room, cleaning everything, organizing yeah. everything, getting rid of the stuff I'm not wearing. A lot of times that's what ends up happening is like, I don't want to put something away because it's like committing to it. And maybe I don't want that thing anymore. So I leave it in the basket. You know, yeah. I don't need to get into all my excuses and my mental problems with around my clothes and hanging them up. But yes, it's not solved, but that's on me.
Yeah.
Have you found there's a difference?
Well, for me, where I fold clothes is I can seriously reach the dresser drawers from the end of my bed where I fold clothes. So I have a better execution record of putting away folded clothes than I do walking. I'm looking at it right now, walking probably 7 steps over to the closet and putting it there. So it's just so funny that we do this, but I end up sort of laying the hanging things over the end of the bed or on the chair instead of walking 6 steps and hanging them up. So I am better with putting away the folded stuff in the drawers because it's like 2 feet away instead of 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So funny. Yeah. All right. Well, this next one has been really effective for us. And I would say it's great for even preschoolers on up. And that is having what I will call like a lost and found basket or a miscellaneous basket for each child or family member, having a place where those baskets live that where they look nice, that it's not just it doesn't look super junky. And then having a family system for when those get emptied. So this would be your bottom of the stairs baskets if people have done that method. My current house doesn't have stairs. So, but it's very long. It's very spread out. So we have, I bought 3 woven baskets from Target, kind of flat and low down. And they line up on a bench in our dining room. And that's about it's not centrally located, but it's at the end of the house where kids leave their junk and don't take it back to their bedrooms. And I just, as I'm tidying, I have a place where I can drop lost and found items, miscellaneous items in each kid's basket. There's no labels or anything. It's just, I just know whose is whose. And then once a week, they have to take those baskets back to their room and empty them and bring them back empty. And it's the kind of system that I started with fits and starts when they were a little younger, when we had a 2-story house. But the stairs did kind of, it was always a wrinkle with the stairs. And like, I didn't want a bunch of stuff in baskets at the bottom of the stairs all the time. And they never took it up. This has worked really well. And I have even added a lost and found area for my parents who, you know, we live 5 minutes away. We're always at each other's houses. And we have this entry table in our entryway that has 3 drawers and they weren't being used for anything. And it was so satisfying to be like, oh, when I have a Tupperware that's my mom's or my dad leaves his hat here or something, I'm just going to stick it in this drawer. And it goes back to the Marie Kondo concept of like knowing that everything has a place and knowing where that place is. It removes so much mental load of the decluttering. And I feel less angry about kids leaving stuff out because I know what my division of responsibilities is. I put it in your lost and found basket. your division of responsibilities is you empty that on Sundays. So it's just been, it's been helpful, but it's taken a while.
Yeah. And I think that there are so many systems like that, that like take forever to actually implement. And then by the time you finally get them going, you're like, oh, but actually now the kids are older, we should change this part. Yeah. Or now we've moved, so this part needs to change. But it's like, there's never going to be a perfect system, right? It's, or a routine. Like there's always, they're going to change with time, kind of like my laundry routine. Like, yeah, it worked so well when it worked, and then it stopped working. And I think it took me a little while to get on board with the fact that it wasn't working anymore, and I needed to like make some changes. But I guess my point is that that's just part of how this all works. Yeah. Like, that's just how it goes. Yeah. There's no system so good that you can invent it and never reinvent it.
Well, and neither you or I would ever get so full of ourselves to claim that we had found the right system. It's just right. The system that works for right now. So we both know that those evolve.
Yeah. Well, my next one has to do with dishes. And this is one of those places where like my aesthetic ideal and like my desire to have my kids do things in the kitchen without complaining and, you know, being total wusses about it conflict.
Right.
So I would like to have nothing but beautiful, you know, Mrs. Meyer's dish soap, mm-hmm, or maybe some Method or something, and nice, like really cute, artsy looking dishcloths. Mm-hmm.
Like the ones your sister knitted,
yes. Or knitted, yes. And that's it. But here's the big but. Teenagers. I also want my kids to do the dang dishes, and I want them to hand wash pots and pans and scrub cookie sheets and all of those things, right? So those two things do not go together. Right. If they have a tool that doesn't basically do the work for them, then it's as though I was asking them to dissect a cat or something. It's like, they just can't. They're looking at me with their hands up like, ew, but like, I don't want to touch it and gross. And they're all having fits. So I ended up getting those long-handed, kind of ugly plastic scrub brushes, uh-huh, for the kitchen. And that made a big deal or a big difference. And then I got some of that, the Dawn Power Spray.
Okay. I saw you discussing this in our team Slack channel, but I don't think I'm familiar.
So yes, I was discussing it with Amanda, who's on our team. And she made a funny comment that people are like, that Dawn Power Spray is very controversial. And I said, well, like, why is it controversial? And she said, because you still have to do work. And I was like, oh,
it's so not are magic.
Are people getting the idea that you just spray it at the dishes and it cleans them for you? Because that is not the case. That does not, all it is a, and it's probably overpriced. I'm just going to say it's probably like a gimmick, right? It's a spray bottle that has probably slightly watered down dish soap in it, is my guess. And it ejects in a foam. So when you spray it, it's like you're spraying, you know, Windex or something. Yeah. So it comes out with that kind of force, like foamy dish soap that comes out it's different. It doesn't come out in a squish. It comes out in a spray. And the reason it's been kind of game changing is that the kids, first of all, like spraying it. Mm-hmm. They can do it with one hand while holding their ugly plastic long-handed scrub brusher in the other hand. And for whatever reason, the magic isn't the product. The magic is in how they feel about the product. Mm-hmm. And now they all think it's easier to do the dishes.
Right, right.
So, I mean, I could probably figure out a way to make this on my own. I've looked actually into how to get, because I think you can kind of like use your own product and get like a spray bottle, and it's some special formulation of like water to soap or whatever. I could do that. I don't know that I'm going to bother. I don't have it out on the countertop all the time. I leave it under the sink, and then we only pull it out when needed. But man, it just gets the job done, and the kids don't complain. And okay, good enough, right? Like it's worth the extra dollar.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say, is in the interest of getting kids on board, which is such a milestone for those of you with really tiny kids, like having children who can actually contribute around the house is hard won, and it's not easy to implement. And if it takes like a fancy mop or like something that makes it feel fun for them, then I say go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this one is very frivolous and is mostly about adding joy and making adding joy a little bit easier. But it's such an example of like that thing we were talking about with walking 10 steps to the to the closet, like how creatures of habit we are and how much a slight inconvenience will mean we don't do the thing, like you turning on the lights in the garage. So we put up string lights in our backyard patio when we moved in, and they look so nice, and we have year-round wonderful weather, and I like to have them on even if we're not hanging out outside on the patio, because you can see our patio from multiple places in the house, and they're on a little remote. They're not on a timer, but they have a little remote that turns them on and off. And for a year, that remote was in our front entryway in one of those same drawers that I talked about where I put my parents' lost and found items. And I'd walk by a window and see that the string lights weren't on. And I'd think, oh, I wish those were on, but I'm not going to walk back to the entryway and go into that drawer. And one day I just moved it. I moved it into the kitchen to right next to the window where I always look out and think, oh, it's dark. I should put on those string lights. And I tucked it into this little, I think it was a candle holder that I turned into a loose change jar. So it's like in a little jar that always sits on the counter. It doesn't even go into a drawer like Marie Kondo would want, but it is so accessible. And I kid you not, I turn on and off my patio string lights every night because it's just right wow. there. So whatever, listeners, whatever you can move to a more convenient location, do it.
They would call that reducing friction.
Yes, exactly.
In the habits book, right?
Yeah.
I love that. Well, this is kind of another one of those like, friction. I guess this whole episode is really friction reduction,
yeah.
But this one is very much along those lines. And that is having way more chargers and blocks of all the different kinds than seems necessary. Because you never know when those things are going to wander off.
Yeah.
And sometimes the block wanders off separately from the charger. Sometimes someone, you know, needs like the same size charger that is someone else's phone charger they might need for their Kindle. And I put myself in. Like I'm guilty. So one of my kids, Will, his charger is whatever that is, a mini USB, whatever the one is that fits a Kindle. And I have a couple of times meant to return his phone charger and forgotten. So anyway, I just have them everywhere and several on each floor and in the car. And it means that I don't ever have to think, oh, I can't charge my phone, but I don't really have time to run upstairs right now to get the charger because I'm right in the middle of like getting dinner started. So I'll wait. And then oops, my phone's dead. Like all of those little annoyances. If you just kind of over prepare, it feels silly and frivolous, but it really works.
Yep. And it is that death by a thousand cuts. Like the amount of time we've spent looking for a charger or a charger block and then moving it to a different outlet. Like that is found time if it's just not something you have to worry about. So I agree. And actually, my last one is also device charging related, but it is a separate purchase that we made. I don't know. I feel like everything I'm talking about was about when we moved into this house, because that's when some of these things tend to get solved. But it's one of those charging docks where you can, it has little dividers where iPads and tablets and phones can kind of stand up next to each other. It takes up a decent amount of space. So we have it in our like bonus room. It isn't one that I put on a main kitchen counter because it would create quite a lot of devices and cords. So this would be for the devices that maybe you don't use all the time, like your kids' tablets or maybe your Kindles or whatever. But it was around $30. I'll link to it. But there are others that are similar. And I think one of the things that helped with most was telling the kids to go put away or go charge a device. And it was almost like instead of that thing where you're looking for a cord and a charger block and which outlet am I going to use? You're just going to the motherboard, like the charging station. So that was a great small purchase that made a big difference for device chaos for us.
Nice. Love it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can think of lots of areas where I need some
help.
Some smart home solutions. Yes. But this was really fun and hopefully gave listeners some ideas for streamlining and reducing friction in all these little areas of your homes.
We would love for you all to discuss these. Like, I think it'd be really fun to talk about this in our Facebook community if you're part of that or chime in the comments in our Instagram post about this episode, because I know people are going to have so many hacks and so many solutions to things, problems you might not even realize you have.
Right.
Until you're crying in the bathroom because, I don't know, like you can't reach the light switch with one hand when you're brushing your teeth or something. I don't know what it is, but we've all got them, right? We've all got those problems.
We've all got them, and they're solvable. I guess if there's a moral to this episode, it's that many of these annoyances have solutions, and sometimes it takes us thinking like, oh, I am going to fix this for myself and make it better. Right. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap, just a reminder to go check out our sponsor, KidSole, at KidSole.com/themomhour. They make inserts and insoles for kids' shoes that can help with arch support, heel pain, and other foot issues that are common in childhood.
Yeah, and they've got great prices and incredible customer service. Plus, they are offering our listeners a 40% discount when you use the code MOMHOUR22 at KidSole.com/themomhour. So check it out.
And we'll be back with you a week from today with an all new listener questions episode.
Talk to you then.